down to Charles is, I mean, Satan is still prevalent in this world. This world is still corrupt, it's still evil. It's not going to change until Christ ultimately conquers evil, conquers Satan.
This is the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. On the Impressionistic Thursday News Hour for March 3rd, 2005.
Hi, this is Bennett, and I have a guest today. And where were you born?
In Craig, Alaska.
Craig, Alaska. Her name is Alvina Atwood. She's a Native American. She's been living down here in the States, the lower 48, for most of your life, right?
Yes.
When was the last time you were in Alaska?
Oh, gee, I went home, Bennett, 3 years ago. You remember when Rod and I flew up there to Anchorage to see my two sisters. That was 3 years ago, Bennett. Before that, I hadn't been home in about 36 years.
Wow.
Long time.
You've had a long, strange trip in your life, right? So when were you born?
A journey, Bennett. Life's a journey.
Life is a journey.
Indian way, life's a journey.
So when were you born?
I was born, I think, in November the 6th, 1940.
November the 5th here.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't believe that now.
That's true. Okay. It's true. So you were born November 6th, 1940.
Mm-hmm.
In Craig, Alaska.
Yes.
And you're what tribe?
Tlingit and Haida.
See, everybody hears this, you know, the Mohawks and the Apaches and the Cheyenne.
Yeah. Tlingit and Haida. We're from southeastern Alaska. We're found like near the Seattle border. Some of us, Tlingit and Haidas, were even in Canada. We're born in Canada, some of them.
Up there by Saskatchewan?
Southeastern. I'm not sure about the Canadian side of it, Bennett. I don't know that much about my side of it.
And who were your parents?
Oh, my parents, Matilda and Clyde Wagner, yeah.
And you haven't seen your father? Or do you know your
father? Oh, I know my father. I didn't know my mother. That's my first memory, Bennett, in life. And I was pretty old when they took her away. I was 6. I should have had memory before that, but I don't. I had no memory.
They took her away almost
7, because she was dying of cancer. Oh. And I remember her walking up. The ramp was real steep that day because the tide was low. We lived on what they call a scow boat. And it was a house, you know, on the water. And they took my mother up there, and for some reason I knew she was never coming back, I guess. Because I was screaming and crying for her. And she knew it was the last time she'd see her children. She knew she was going to die.
And
that's the memory I have of my mother, the only one in my life I ever remember my mother. She had green slacks on and a yellow sweater.
And
I can see
who was taking her away?
The nurse from Ketchikan came. They were taking her to Ketchikan to ship her to a hospital in Seattle. And right there in Tacoma is actually where she died in the hospital, yeah.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
At that time, there were 11 of us.
Oh, my God.
But all together, my mother had 17 children. But some of them burned up in a fire. Oh. And one time, a man sat on one of the babies when he was drinking, and newborn baby, and killed it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
My oldest sister tells me that. That happened.
And Rod is your younger brother? Older brother? Can't remember.
He might be a year older, Bennett. I'm not.
Because if there are 17.
Our birth certificates are messed up, see, because his birthday says November the 22nd, 1940. Mine says November the 6th, 1940. So figure it out.
Unless you came out of the same womb, yeah. And you were born, and he was born and, 2 weeks later.
Yeah, but that was kind of odd, you know. We don't know, and my oldest sister don't know, she said, because there were several sets of twins in the family, but she didn't know if Rod and I were twins.
Wow.
And she wasn't around when we were born.
Well, the fact that the records aren't well taken care of, is it pretty much shows the way your people were treated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Didn't really matter.
It didn't matter, because hardly anyone had a right place. Yeah.
Now, you went to school there.
I don't know. I have no memories of school.
Well, you read books, so I know you went to school.
I know. I've always been able to read real well. That's how I educated myself, Ben. Through books. I read, and I listen to everything anybody ever said.
All right, so let's get into it here.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how to lead into it. You had some problems with the police by the time you were 13, 14 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the Indian girls. This was in Juneau, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
After my mother died, I was sent here and there and everywhere, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was,
you weren't orphaned.
Yeah.
You were orphaned.
My father was alive, but he was in prison.
Oh. What was he in prison for? Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really remember.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So,
So when you were
13, yeah, I'd been shuffled around a lot by then. I'd already had people molesting me since I could remember, you know. Men, people who were so-called uncles and stuff like that. They all molested little girls to me. I don't know. I always think in life, is it just me? Then I found out way years later, no, it wasn't. A lot of the Indian women I talked to when we were grown, they were all molested too when they were young. But, you know, it was just...
Was he a Mountie?
No, he was the chief of police of Juneau, Alaska. And he was chief of police for a lot of years. When he died, Bennett, this is what made me want to talk so bad. When he died, they buried him like a king. He had 30 or 40 years of being chief there. He did what he wanted with that town. He ran it the way he wanted to run it. I know a lot of girls that he molested. He didn't just molest us. He had sex with us. And I can remember...
More than once?
Oh, yeah. And...
Where? I mean, like, he would come to...
Yeah, they would... You know, we'd be walking down the street or something, and they'd pick us up and say it was after curfew or this or that. And
how old were you?
I was about 13. And one time I was doing something and drinking with some other girls, and they put me in a Juneau jail with grown women. The grown women side just tossed me in there. And then they'd take me out at night down the cell there, the jailer would, the man jailer, old man, real old too, I was young, and they'd have sex with us. Or they tell us they're going to keep me in jail or keep my dad in jail forever, you know. So
scaring you.
And yeah, that's how this is.
Keeping you scared all the time.
And then soon, when I got released, they placed me with a policeman in Juneau, Alaska, a policeman's family. I don't remember their name. She was a waitress. He was a policeman. And when she went to school, he hopped. When she went to work, he'd hop in my bed. And they already had four or five children. And
this was the home that they placed you in.
And when I told the worker, she said, I told the social worker, Mrs. Swain, I'll never forget Mrs. Swain. She told me I needed to stop telling lies because they'd never find me a place to stay. And she moved me immediately from that policeman's family to another family. Now, I was treated nice there.
That's good.
Real, real nice. And I liked it. I liked that family. We were doing real good. I had a lot of fun there. And then something happened to them, not me, and they were breaking up. So back to the welfare system I went. I don't know why they broke up. And I liked that place. I liked that place.
Well, you told me.
By this time, the chief of police had a hold of me.
And he was the one that you attacked.
Yeah.
You wanted some revenge. You were not happy. And you were already feisty.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Was one time he kept pushing me down and trying to have the sex with me. But I told him I wasn't taking it no more. I didn't care what jail he put me in. And we were fighting, you know. So I had a little bitty pen knife and I stabbed him right in the shoulder with it. And it wasn't much, but, you know, it was just a little bitty pocket knife that kids carried in them days. And he let me go and told me to get out of there, you know. So I never said anything. Everybody was scared of him. The girls told me horrible things happen when you tell anything against him. So, of course, I didn't. But it still went on after that. He'd get us, you know, take him down there. I remember that it was a house on the water way down because I could hear, you know, we went down a dock ramp at that time. Somewhere where those little houses were down there right sitting above the water or something. I could hear the water lapping under the house, I remember that, Bennett, so clear. And then they said to me, well, I was bad. And, you know, I can remember, too, Bennett, things flash back to me now. When I was about 7 in school one time, and I was talking my native language to another little girl, and the teacher came just slapped me across the face, told me, don't you ever hear you speak that savage language again. You're here to learn English, and you speak only English here. But she slapped me in the face. I never forgot that either, you know.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Things happen, you know. Indian girls and boys, nothing was believed. You couldn't pay them.
Well, I mean,
to believe you, Bennett.
One of the things we learned from the films and things growing up is that there was this attitude that they were savages. You guys were savages.
Yeah.
And that what you said were all lies. You know, it's like you were the Bush administration or something, you know, just only tell lies.
I have a T-shirt that I'm going to bring back next month when I go to Arizona. I want to show it to you.
Okay.
On the front, there's Indians, you know, with bows and arrows and stuff. And it says, we've been fighting terrorism since 1492.
So,
And who were the first terrorists? The white men, they came over and terrorized us, Bennett.
Well, talk about a genocide.
Yeah.
Millions were killed.
Indians, yeah.
But thinking that they were
the top dog, though.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of America. I love America. It is my home, Bennett. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I just believe that we have to learn to go with the change, but we need to get our history right. We need to get recognized for some of this stuff that they're sitting on my land, you know? I don't like it when I drive down Beverly Hills and see the great, big, beautiful plush lawns and houses that it used to be mine, and they just took it from me. And now, in order to see my Indian friends, I have to go out to the desert, wow, where there's nothing green, mm-hmm, and visit my friends who are all in poverty on the desert. Really in poverty.
What do you think of the Indian, yeah, casinos?
I don't know, Bennett, because I don't know that much about them. I haven't really dabbled into that yet.
It's obvious that...
Other than just playing in them now and then, I have never really looked or gotten into the Indian side of it, which I should do before I put my nickels
there.
Well,
it does appear that certain reservations that were set up for,
yeah,
for particular
bettering
tribes... they were able to get probably,
yes,
mafia money or something like,
yeah,
that in order to build these places,
yeah,
and then get tax cuts.
Yeah.
Actually, Arnold was doing this thing of, why aren't the Indians paying their fair share?
Well, why don't Arnold just go back where he came from?
But the fact was... I
don't know Arnold.
The federal government actually said that what money is made on reservations is not taxed. And that's because that was partial repayment,
yeah,
to the problems that
no partial had repayment. They can never ever even repay us, Bennett. And the first of all, why should we pay taxes? We're a nation unto ourselves on the reservation.
That's the way you treat it too.
Yeah. And we're sitting out there with nothing but sand to eat half of the damn time. You know why? We're not supposed to be taxed. I don't know how or where, but that was in the deal, you
uh-huh,
know.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
And Arnold
and
saying,
Arnold,
why aren't they paying their fair share?
Yeah.
It's just kind of, yeah, missing the point.
But just like you see on that commercial, and it's very true, Bennett, because I've lived through it. I've seen the roads. I drove on them. I know. Didn't one American earn dollar by the white man or any other race, put roads into our little villages and towns.
Uh-huh.
The Indians did it.
Uh-huh.
By themselves. You know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So what have they done for us?
I can't answer that. They haven't done anything, as far,
yeah,
as I can tell. I mean, I know that...
The Indians built them and paid for it.
And
we help out with a lot of things.
And on top of that, for the longest time, I don't know if it's true today, but for the longest time, the best people to work in the high-rise buildings
were Indians.
Yeah. Not afraid of heights.
No.
Walking
They're
around
not.
On those girders,
yeah,
300 feet above the ground,
yeah,
and just doing the work.
It never scared me either.
Really? Yeah.
Always to climb trees.
I'm a white guy, and I'm scared,
yeah,
to death of heights. So, when did you come down from Alaska to the lower 48?
Oh, so let's see. All I know is I'm 65, and I think I was 19. My first, that's a whole nother story now. We can't talk about all that today, but remember it next time.
Okay.
My experience with Norwalk and electric shock treatment. And I'm telling you, Bennett, I've been through it, you know. I've been through the mail. Electric shock treatment what do they call it? When the Senate, when the people say no more, it's,
I'm not sure.
Outlawed or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it was declared inhuman,
uh-huh,
treatment.
Uh-huh.
I went through that, Bennett. I still remember the feeling, the buzzing that electric going through my head.
I know you said you didn't want to talk about it right now, but what, you were in a mental hospital.
Yes.
You were, they placed you there from a jail or from...
No. Gee, I really have to think about it, Bennett. How did I get there? Fighting with my husband.
When were you first married?
Oh, I don't remember that either. that was a very upsetting time of my life, which that's another whole story.
But we're talking about your teenage years.
In 19.
And so you after the electric shock treatments and after the hospital... And I guess after your first husband, you came down to the States, to the lower states?
No, I was already here. I was out there in Norwalk when I was getting them shock treatments.
Oh, my God.
Bennett, that was the old Norwalk that they had to shut down because they weren't allowed to give the shock treatments. I'm getting tired, Bennett, the shock treatments anymore.
Okay, no more of that. Well, what did you do when you came down here? After that, when you
I
were in
your... I went to my little LVN school, you know, years ago, and learned to be an LVN. And worked off and on, periodically. And met somebody, guy, and married him. He was way, way older than me.
When did you meet Russell? Well, you knew Russell from when you were a kid.
I knew Russell from being a child. We were in one of the same children's homes together. Plus, we just always knew each other. We was always together.
Uh-huh.
He was my brother's best friend, and I had a big crush on him. So.
Uh-huh. A handsome man.
He was.
Oh.
He still is, but
yes, he
was real handsome, Bennett. Extremely handsome Indian man, yeah.
When did you marry
Very
Russell?
Very smart. In 1965, I think. 1965 or 66. Because Esther was born in 67. So I imagine it was around then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did you have any children before Esther?
Yes, three. That's the other story, Bennett.
Okay. Well, we won't go into it
right
now. But now... Let's talk about the you've said that you had some dark times because of drugs.
Yes.
Yes, and you were involved with drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, they used to have that angel dust stuff, and then the Sherman. You know, I tried them all, Bennett.
Uh-huh.
Pills, mostly, I was all hung up on.
Uh-huh.
I didn't never try no shooting it or nothing like that. You know, no heavy drug, no.
That's good. That's good.
I sniffed cocaine a few times, and I didn't like that.
That wasn't for me.
Weed was my thing. Weed later became my sustenance in pain, mental and physical pain.
And it also provided you some money for a while.
Yes.
Right? This was here in L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah. When did you move to L.A.?
Even the sheriffs and everybody used to buy
Policemen used to buy pot from you?
They did. I won't tell who it was, but they did.
You don't have to. When was that?
I can't even remember years there in Linwood, California, I was living. They knew me by name, drive up and ask me. Never arrested me. Asked me what kind of weed I was smoking, you know.
Uh-huh.
That
uh-huh.
day, what I had, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, just a couple of joints. And
so you'd get pot from somebody else, and you'd sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
big amounts, but I had good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Crips, they liked me. I was in with the Crips, you know.
You were in with the Crips.
Yeah.
I love it.
They called me Grandma, you know, and they loved the hell out of me and my weed. Wouldn't let nobody within a 10-mile radius. Couldn't have messed with me for nothing. I could walk out to any time of day or night, and you'd believe there was one of them protecting me somewhere, Bennett.
That's right. That's beautiful.
They loved me. I cooked, I invited them to meals, made the weed, raised hell with them about what they were doing and how they were living, and they didn't care. They just loved me.
Now, you haven't had any police problems in a long time.
Long time, Bennett.
Yeah. This is pretty much, the police thing happened a lot when you were young.
Yeah.
And because even through the period of smoking or selling weed, you didn't no arrests,
no.
Anything like that.
Mm-mm.
And
never had no drug arrests, no.
Because you know, I think the point of all this is about the way this country treats its original citizens.
Oh yeah,
its original peoples.
Oh,
here.
Bennett, I have some things to tell you yet that. It just can't come out in one time. It might take a year because I think so many things have happened, Bennett, that are unbelievable. I was kidnapped once and held, you know, 2 days and two nights and raped and sold numerous times. Beaten up, Bennett, just raped till I thought I was dead. I thought I was in another world.
And you were never able to get police protection? You were never able to report this?
Yeah, oh, sure. I jumped out the window, bathroom window, naked when I went in there. It was the only way I could get away. And I ran down the street and around the corner, and there was a liquor store opening. I ran in there screaming. I was beat up so bad, they said, that I didn't even look human.
God.
They beat me with a rifle. I had big knots on my head and face.
God.
My jaw was broke. Oh, and I said, the pain. I've been raped so many times.
I hate to be so specific, but can you say when? How old were you when this happened? She's furrowing her brow.
Boy.
It's just too long ago.
Yeah.
To be specific.
Yeah. In my 20s.
In your 20s, so.
Yeah, somewhere.
So in the early 60s.
Yeah.
In the early 60s.
In my 20s somewhere that happened, Bennett. Oh, yeah, it was bad.
So not only is this the story of an Indian who's being abused, yeah. It's a woman who's being abused. And this is the way we treat the people in this country. And they get away with it.
I brought the police back to that exact house and nothing ever came of it. I was never called to court. They never arrested anybody. Right after it happened, I brought them to that house.
Uh-huh. And the police didn't do anything then?
They said that I didn't have the proof that it was in there. I said, there's the bedroom that,
there's the window I jumped
out. Yeah. And there was a woman there, too. A woman with her children lived in that house. I told her, how can you do this? Help me.
And what did she do? Just close the door?
She just looked away real, like...
ashamed.
Yeah, like there was nothing she could do, though. She, I could tell she didn't approve, but there was nothing she could do, Bennett.
So it's a male thing, too.
Yeah.
The way.
Yeah. What time is it now, Bennett? I'm tired.
Oh, it's, this is Thursday morning, Kill Radio listeners. It's 9:35.
Is it the half hour now?
Yeah, we can, let's talk for a couple more minutes.
Okay.
And we'll have Miss Atwood in again.
Okay.
And do this. She's living here in Los Angeles. She lives in my building here. I live in the Silver Lake area.
Yeah.
And I've known Alvina for several years now. We became friends almost immediately as soon as she came in. Because we both like the weed a little bit.
Oh,
and
yes.
And because we can share discussions and stuff, because people are good. Her brother Rod has worked on my cars. I mean, these are good people. Yeah. And then I was given a van, which, though it cost a lot of money ultimately, ended up with Rod, but I hope nobody's hurt too bad. For the siren there, but Rod still doesn't have a driver's license, so he can't drive the van. He spent $2,800. You have to go to Arizona to pick him up and drive him back here.
And I have to take the van back next week, and then I have to follow him in my car so we can come back. Rod's a mess, but he's my brother.
And you love him.
Yes.
And he loves you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You're there. All right, so we've begun this story.
Yeah.
And let's in a couple weeks let's do this again.
Okay.
Let's meet again and let's talk about this. Yeah. If there's any interest in the story, you can write to me, Bennett. You can write to Chill Room, CHILLROOM at killradio.org if you have any questions or anything about Alvina Atwood. We'd like to know.
65 years old I am, and I've seen a lot of Indian stuff.
Well, we're going to hear more about what you've seen.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll be back in a moment. Yes, these are the Black Lodge singers doing the theme from the Flintstones.
They all sing, yabba-dabba-doo, yabba-dabba-doo.
that's it for the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for March 3rd, 2005, here on Kill Radio out of Los Angeles. I think maybe I'll play some more Clone Jesus later on, and Alvina and I are going to talk again in the future. So this is just the beginning, and as you can see, the Impressionistic News is going through some changes, some different focuses. Thanks for being out there. Thanks for listening. Listen to my music show, The Chill Room, Saturday nights at midnight here on Kill Radio. And Mushu Kitty will be up shortly. Don't forget that all right-wingers are soul-sucking ghouls. Unfortunately, some of the left-wingers are too, but not as bad as the right-wingers. This has been an experiment in terror from Kill Radio and me. Don't forget to kill your friend.